Joining the Morning Sports page right now is a regular friend of the program, a friend of mine. You read him at CBSSports.com and BlazersEdge.com, the best Blazers site available on the internet. It's Ben Golliver. Ben, who is live in New York last night for the draft in Newark. Ben, good morning.
How's it going, Chad?
Fantastic. What'd you think about the draft overall, the experience?
Well, it was an amazing experience. You know, first time I've ever been there in person. Obviously, so much going on. It's just nonstop. It's relentless. I think when you watch it on TV, it kind of feels like it drags. But in person, it was just like on and on and on and on. Just, you know, really nonstop, no let up. Finally they get to the Blazers pick at 21, and news had come out there's most likely going to be a trade, and that's really exciting. You know, you can really hear the news spread throughout the crowd, people getting, passing it on like a game of telephone almost, and you know, Twitter does so much these days in terms of spreading news like that too, so you can almost see the instant reaction as, you know, 20 reporters all write the same rumor. It's just a cool experience.
All right, let's go ahead and talk Blazers. Really, the big news of the night for the Portland Trailblazers, they select Nolan Smith out of Duke with the 21st pick. And then they make the trade where they send Andre Miller to the Denver Nuggets. In return, they get Raymond Felton. Rudy Fernandez goes to Dallas. Let's start with the pick. What do you think about Nolan Smith out of Duke coming to the Blazers?
I mean, he's solid, low risk. You know, I think probably potentially low reward as well. I think he is what he is. You know, he's a safe, solid Duke product. He's going to run an offense for you. He's going to be able to take on responsibilities. And, you know, he should stick in the league without too much problem. You know, the Blazers added depth. They got younger overall at the point guard position with the trade of, the swap of Miller for Felton. But they didn't necessarily answer any questions long-term. You look at Felton, you know, he only has 1 year left on his contract, so the Blazers really just bought themselves some time here, and they got a little bit younger. They will have the opportunity to re-sign Felton, which is going to be big. But they didn't necessarily address their point guard question with a big name or a real star talent like they had probably hoped coming into the draft with some of the names that have been floating out. So, you know, is Felton a better point guard than Andre for next season? I think that's pretty arguable. I think they're very similar players. But I think going forward, if you are able to re-sign him, you know, that makes this trade look a little bit different. But they did drop a rotation player in Rudy Fernandez, which is tough. And, you know, they've got a whole backlog of point guards they've got to sort out. And so I think that's probably going to be a problem and a situation that won't be resolved until after the lockout. But they didn't address their other big issue, which is the front court. So overall, you look at this draft and you really think, like, Rich Cho should have been there. You know, I mean, that's the big regret here. As you look what he did for the Charlotte Bobcats, he totally revitalized their team. He went out and got the targets that they had wanted, Biyombo and Kemba Walker. I mean, he was able to make the moves methodically in an organized manner. It just didn't seem like the Blazers had that same thing this year.
It's Ben Golliver, BlazersEdge.com, CBSSports.com with us here on the Morning Sports page. And that's kind of the feel. When I look at what they did, I really don't know if they're any better right now than they were before the draft started. And that leaves question marks in my mind.
It just feels like they've just tried to buy some time a little bit and given themselves an out. I mean, the worst-case scenario would have been bringing Andre Miller back and then entering next summer with him a year older, with him an unrestricted free agent, and without really any answer at all at the point guard position. So what they did, you know, in trading for Felton is they did buy themselves a little bit of time and a little bit of security. Not only do they have a year of Felton who's younger, but they also have the possibility of bringing him back in the future. So he could potentially be a guy who's here for a longer stretch, and that answers that question for you. But no, I mean, he's not markedly better. And if you look at some of the advanced statistics, you know, frankly, he's not as good as Andre was this past season. So certainly it's not something that, you know, you can spin if you're the Blazers and say, oh, we're certainly a better team than we were last year. We definitely made ourselves better. I don't think they did. And I don't think they'd be honest if they did say that.
It's interesting when you look at Nolan Smith. What position will they play him at? You know, he stepped over and played the point guard position for Duke with the injury to Kyrie Irving, but yet he's probably more of a shooting guard. Where do you see the Blazers using Nolan Smith?
No, honestly, I see him as more of a one than a two, but I think the concerns about whether he's a natural one or a pure one are certainly valid. I think when you do talk about reserve guards in this league, it matters less and less what position they play. You know, it matters who can they defend, and it also matters, you know, what's their skill set basically offensively? Can they fit with people? Are they team players? And he's certainly a team player. I think he's going to be solid. Like I said, I don't expect the world from him. It's not like, you know, a Jared Bayless type factor that came in when he was drafted. I mean, I think, you know, 21 in a weak draft, it's not going to be huge expectations on him. He should be able to play some minutes, unlike Armand Johnson this past season, who wasn't able to play minutes for the Blazers. And so, you know, he should be all right. I don't think the position thing, for a guy like him, I don't think it matters as much. It matters a lot for your starting point guard. You need a starting point guard who can distribute the ball. You're talking about reserve guards in that second rotation. If they can score, if they can play make, either way, if they're tweeners, it's not as big of a deal anymore. The NBA has sort of evolved past that when we're talking about reserve players.
Ben Golliver, BlazersEdge.com, CBSSports.com with us here on the morning sports page. So looking ahead, based on the fact of what they didn't do in the draft, is there another move in the future possibly?
Well, they're going to have a couple moves. You know, they solved the Andre Miller question, which we knew was still hanging, and now the next question is going to be Greg Oden. You know, since they didn't bring in any depth in the front court, they're certainly going to have to look really hard at bringing him back, because otherwise their front court is going to be really, really, really thin.
Does it guarantee now? Is last night pretty much a guarantee that he's coming back now?
Well, here's the thing. If they had, you know, gone out of their way to target a seven-footer, or if they had made a trade for, you know, one of these Lopez brothers, you know, who were rumored to be available, then all of a sudden you start to wonder, okay, maybe they'll waver a little bit on Greg Oden. But, yeah, I think it certainly suggests that a strategy, if they did not bring in any other additional front court players, if they pass in a guy like Farid who is available, he's obviously going to play a four for you, not a five, but still, you know, it would be adding to your front court, adding to your length and size. I think that does suggest that they're going to bring Greg Oden back for sure.
I guess this answers the question then. We always wonder going into the draft, how much of a disadvantage is it not to have a general manager? You know, could the crew be able to put together a good draft? And I think that answers the question that you could make the argument that if you would have had Rich Cho, much like last year, if Kevin Pritchard would have been fully on board, maybe you have better drafts.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why you want a general manager, an experienced hand who's been in these trade negotiations many times before. It's all about the minor assets. It's not necessarily the main pieces of Felton for Miller, but it's about every last thing that you can get from your opponent in these negotiations, whether that's draft picks, whether that's location of future picks, whether that's protections on picks, whether that's, you know, certain salaries that you're trying to dump or not dump. I mean, you want a guy who's been through that, and certainly showed that in the trades that he made in terms of how he was able to use assets, how he was able to create assets, and also how he was really able to get favorable draft protections when they did make that Jared Bayless trade. This is a guy who understands all the details. You look at some of the, you know, the side portions of this trade, and it hasn't been totally confirmed yet, so it's still a little bit up in the air, but you feel like the Blazers paid a pretty hefty price to really make a sideways move when you're talking about dumping a rotation player to go from a guy like Andre Miller to Raymond Felton, who, as we said before, really isn't necessarily an upgrade. So, you know, I think a GM, for sure, when you look, you know, you step back, I think if we look from 2 years from now and we look back at this draft, we're going to say, man, they really, really should have had Cho in place there. There's no real explanation for why they did what they did.
Unbelievable. You know what's interesting about the Rudy Fernandez trade? Another example of the Blazers falling in love with their own talent and not making a move maybe when they should have. You look at Rudy, his value dropped over the last two seasons, and they pretty much gave him away for nothing.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you remember back to media day, I know it's hard because it's stuff, you know, day by day it changes, but do you remember Rich Cho said himself he would not trade Rudy for that, like a 20 pick? You know, he said Rudy's value is better than that. You know, I would have considered him maybe higher up in the first round. You know, picks were being offered, but he wouldn't have done it for a pick in the low 20s. He ended up, you know, the Blazers ended up trading Rudy for a pick in the mid-20s, and it wasn't even a pick that they're necessarily going to get back, and they had to redirect it. So, they basically did dump it for anything. If you want to talk, another, you know, interesting thing about this draft is the Rudy Fernandez era is over. Does he go down as one of the biggest disappointments in Trailblazers history? I think that's a fair question to ask, given how much hype there was when he first came here, how the world was promised of him after those Olympics, you know, how hard Kevin Pritchard worked to sell him as the piece, the Manu Ginobili-type piece that was going to put the Blazers over the top. He comes out and, you know, has two very disappointing seasons after a strong rookie year and is, you know, an afterthought, gone, kapoof, you know, and that's, you know, that really is, again, it's another sign of you don't have a direction as an organization, you're not understanding what your true assets are, you're not making sure they have playing time, you're not putting them in a good situational fit. Those are things that the real championship contending organizations do. They're on the same page from the owner on down, and clearly this organization is not that.
Ben Golliver, BlazersEdge.com, CBSSports.com with us here on the morning sports page. I'll tell you this much about Rudy. He's got to be feeling pretty good about playing with the Mavericks. He'll probably go down there and kill it now as a spot-up three-point shooter. Can you imagine him playing in that offense with Dirk kicking it out to him for open threes?
Yeah, he's going to have a real question about, is he going to get minutes? You know, I think that's definitely an open question for him on that roster. It's a super deep roster, and he's going to have to carve out some space. But, you know, they have a very smart coaching staff to understand how to put guys in positions where they can succeed, and he should be able to, you know, make the most of his career there, hopefully, or at least get a rebirth, which he clearly needs. He needs to be able to do more than just spot-up shooting. That's what he was doing here in Portland.